that's so true. So many people today, we think we can glory in our achievements and the things that we've done, or the cars that we have, or like professional sports players, the records that they break. But ultimately, the only thing we can glory in is the cross. But we can glory in that because of Christ and what He did for us. And I just praise His name this evening. So at this time, the King's Kids and Track Club will be dismissed to Pharaoh and Pharaoh's wife. Is that right? We'll explain that to Jeffrey later. But you'll learn when they come in late, Jeffrey, that's why he's called Pharaoh. He won't let his people go. So, just kidding. Well, we'll see. Maybe. Amen. Now she's going to quit early. She's not going to be that. Amen. Well, if you've got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, and I hope you do, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 35. Genesis 35 tonight. And the Lord, the past few weeks that I've had the privilege of preaching, we have walked through the Sermon on the Mount, and we were in the Beatitudes. But today, as I was reading in the Word of God, I came across this passage of Scripture, and this thought really just jumped off the page at me, and I could not get away from it. And I believe it's something I need, and I believe it's something every child of God needs. And we need to get back to Bethel in our spiritual lives. And we're going to see what I mean by that in the message tonight. But we're going to read Genesis 35, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Genesis 35, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you today asking you to cleanse me of all sin. Please empty me of my wretched self and fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would control my every word. And I pray you'd help me to preach to everyone in this room tonight, even myself. Lord, speak to me through me. Lord, speak to me through your word. Speak to us through your word. Lord, we all need to get back to Bethel. We all need to get back to that place where you are manifesting your presence to us and working in our lives and doing things through us that you have wanted to do all along. So, Lord, I pray that you would help me to clearly, by your grace, share what is on my heart, which is what is in your word. And, Lord, please give us the grace to be obedient to what we hear. And, Lord, most of all, if there's someone here, Lord, that's never met you, they may have heard the truth about you, but maybe they don't know you. Lord, I pray tonight that you would reveal to them their sin condition and that you would show them the cross spiritually, maybe for the very first time or the first time in a long time. And I pray that you would draw them to you in repentance and faith. Lord, I know it's just a Wednesday in the eyes of many church people, but Lord, we're here because we want to hear from you. We're here because we want to see you work. Lord, we're here because we want to worship you in the best way we know how. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us now through your word. Give me the grace to act rightly divided, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, as we are looking at this passage of Scripture, thinking about going back to Bethel, before we can go back, we really need to see where when he was there the first time. And that's what I want to look at by way of introduction. Flip back a few pages to Genesis chapter 28. Because we see in chapter 35 that they are told here to go back. To go back to Bethel. But we see here in verse or chapter 28, the first encounter of Jacob in Bethel when he's running from Esau. His mom told him to flee because Esau was mad because he stole his birthright. And then he usurped the plan of God. Now, some people may say when we look at this text, remember it says when they're being birthed into this world, it says the elder shall serve the younger. And some people, if you're not careful, will say, well, that's just God seeing what would happen. Because what did happen, Jacob tricked Isaac, and he got the blessing. You say, well, God was just seeing what was going to happen. No, I believe God had a plan, and if Isaac would have been obedient to God and just done what he said, he could have avoided a lot of issues that happened in this whole process that we see here. And we see here that in the life of Jacob, his name means a trickster, a heel grabber. Jacob, to be honest, is just a low down rotten sinner like you and me. And it may sound crazy to say, but as I read the Bible, I am encouraged to know that other people of God, even in the Word of God, are just low down wretches saved by the grace of God. And we see a man tonight in that same place. But we see here in chapter 28 his first interaction in the place called Bethel, which literally means house of God. Or I guess you could say the place where God dwells. And that's what I'm thinking about tonight when I think about going back to Bethel, getting back to the place where God's presence is in your life. Now you say, well, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit indwelt me, and then God is always with me. Because the Bible says He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And that's 100% true. But what I mean by that, going back to Bethel, is going back to a place where God is manifesting His presence in your life, where God is answering your prayer, where God is leading you through His Word, where God is working in your life. It's one thing for God to be with you and another for Him to work through you and in you. And that, I want us to get back to that place, which I believe is Bethel in our lives. I believe God wants to do things in every life in this building that we can't even fathom. See, because Christians today, we put God in a little box. And we want Him to be explainable and understandable to us. But that's not how God operates. Look in the Word of God. Just prior to this, Jacob's father, Isaac. Isaac himself was a miracle, was he not? Now, we know Abraham and Sarah tried to do it their own way. And that, once again, that messed with the plan of God and led to a lot of heartache that didn't need to happen. But God wanted to get Abraham and Sarah to a place where the only thing that could be explained with what happened in their life was that God did it. And that's what God wants to do in our life. But we've got to get back to Bethel. We've got to get back to that place. I've got to get back to that place where God is working in our hearts. Not just living there, but working in our hearts and in our lives. So we see here in chapter 28, we see first in verses 10 through 19, we see there was a confrontation. And see, before we can go back to Bethel, we had to first be there in the first place. There was a confrontation where Jacob met God. And if you're here tonight and you're saved, you had that confrontation in that encounter in your life. There was a time where God spoke to your heart, where all the truth that you'd heard your whole life preached from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, by His grace, turned the light bulb on and made it real to you. And you were face-to-face with God. I couldn't say any better way, but face-to-face with God. And we see here He has a confrontation in verses 10 through 19. Chapter 28, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. What a sad place that Jacob's in right there. Jacob's on the run from his brother Esau. He just so happens to come on this place, at least it looks like in our eyes and in his eyes, and he's got a rock for a pillow. Jacob's in a tough place. He's in a miserable place, but I thank God. So many times in our lives when we're in a hard place, that's when God shows up. And you see it all throughout the Word of God. You remember, I believe, who was Abraham's, Sarah's servant, the lady, what was her name?
Hagar.
So that's why I thought I didn't want to mess it up. That's what happened with her, was it not? Sarah ran her off. And she was in distress. She was heartbroken. She was, at one point, she was going to let her son die. But that's when God showed up. See, when we're in a hard place, when we're in a hard time, so many times that's when God shows up. Sometimes God put us there so that we would look up. And then we see here, maybe that's what's happening in the life of Jacob. But we see here that he's got his pillows a rock. And he lay down in that place to sleep, verse 11. In verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the world be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. What an encouragement. Jacob to this point has been a flop in his life. But just because Jacob had been a flop doesn't mean that God wasn't going to be faithful to what he said. God's going to be faithful to his, even when we mess up. And I thank God, because my salvation doesn't rest in me, thank the Lord, because if it did, it'd be gone. But it's on him and his work and his faithfulness. And it's such an encouragement to see that there. Verse 16, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? That's what happens when you get in the presence of God. When a sinner is brought in front of God, man, remember Isaiah, a godly man. But he got put in the presence of God. He said, I am falling apart at the seams. That's why people aren't getting saved in churches today, because God's not there. Because when God's there, you don't need to work it up. You don't need to play a certain key on the guitar or the piano. You don't need to have any special things to add to it. You just need the truth of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working. And when God shows up, sinners will hit their face. That's what we need to pray for. We don't need to pray that God would give us cooler things to draw more people in. We just need to pray God come, that God show up. And when God does, that's when stuff happens. So it says, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Verse 18, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. So we see here, there was a confrontation. Jacob was confronted by God. And if you're saved by the grace of God, there was a time in your life where that happened to you. Where you were confronted with the truth of the gospel. The Holy Spirit helped you to understand you're a sinner on your way to hell, and apart from Christ, that's where you're going. And then you responded in repentance and faith, and that's how you are saved today. But we see that there was a confrontation, but not only was that a place of confrontation, a place where he met God for the first time, and now he knows God. But we see also there was a place of commitment. And see, when you're where God is as a child of God, there will be commitment, there will be fire, there will be emotion, there will be passion. See, that's why we need to get back to Bethel. So we'll be motivated again to do what God wants us to do. See, because in our flesh, we're not motivated to do spiritual things. We need, like Jesus talked about, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He had the empowerment of the Spirit. That's what we need, the strength of God. We see his commitment, verses 20 through 22. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So he made a commitment. He was serious about this. He was all in with the Lord. So we see there, that's Bethel. That's where he was at. That's where he met God. That's where he made a commitment. That's where God's presence was working in his life. But now, if you read the account of Jacob, we can see he's got a little away from that. And God's saying, now, go back. And that's what God's saying to you and me tonight. Go back. Go back to Bethel. Like it says in Jeremiah 6:16, go you in the way and seek the old paths. Go back to where you used to be. I'm not saying necessarily go back to the traditions of the past, because that scripture is used wrong so many times. But go back to the way it was when you first got right with God. Go back to Bethel. So we see here, how do we get back? And we see the first thing I want to point out now, number one, we see the charge in verse number 1 of chapter 35. We can go back there now. The charge, the proclamation, the command from God. If we're going to get back to that place, we see here the Word of God tells us how to do so. We see first, it says in the verse number 1, it says, "And God said unto Jacob," read that next word, "arise." That means we got to do something. So many people think, we think, woe is me. I'm in a place and I can't do anything about it. We're like, who was it? Samuel, I believe it was. Or David. Or many people throughout the Word of God, when things don't go the way they think they should, they fall on their face and say, woe is me. But God says, if you want to get back to where you need to be, arise, get up, get motivated and do something about it by God's grace. That's what we got to do. It says arise. Three aspects of the definition of the word arise. Three things. First, obviously, act. We got to respond. We got to do. We got to say, okay, God, I'm going to get up off my bottom side and get up and do something. I'm not going to ride my church pew to glory. I want to get up and get back to Bethel. Jacob would have never got there if he had sat still all the time. Act means to get up from sitting, lying, or kneeling. Rise. So many Christians say that's exactly what they're doing. They're sitting down. They're lying down. They're kneeling. They're lazy. And I've been there. Falling into a spiritual rut, a numbness where, yeah, you're going to church. Yeah, you're doing all the right things, but you're asleep spiritually. That's exactly where the devil wants us. And I believe with some political things in the past years, I believe God did give us a space of grace. And I believe what we did was we said, well, I'm going to take a nap. I believe that's what we did. That's what the devil wanted. I believe that's what COVID did to a lot of churches and Christians too. But I'm just going to take a nap. You know what? I'll stay home and watch online. I know the church doors are back open, but I'll stay home and watch online. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to stay spiritually asleep. He wants you to stay seated spiritually. He doesn't want you to act. He doesn't want you to get back to Bethel. He wants you to be a member of the church, but he don't want you to be working and serving and thriving in the church. So we see arise means to act. The next step, and goes right along with that, awaken, to wake up. The Bible says, Romans 13:11-12, and I don't know if there's a better time ever that this fits, and that knowing the time, and some things that have happened these past few days should wake us up even more so with what's going on in our country around us right now. And I won't go into detail. You all probably know that. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That means the Lord's about to come back. It's nearer than when we believed. The rapture is coming. It's almost here. We need to wake up. If we're going to fulfill what God has commanded us to do and share the gospel with as many people as possible, then he goes on to say, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That means put on Jesus. Put on his righteousness. You've got to act. We've got to awaken and we've got to ascend, to move upward. And that's what happens as you draw near the Lord. You'll move upward. We've got to arise. You got to do something. You can't get back to Bethel and not do anything. Now, when I say do, I mean let the Lord do through you. So many times when we say do, I don't want to be a Pharisee, and I don't want you to make you think that it's up to you to do it. it's up to you to surrender to God and ask Him to help you do it. But you got to be willing to stand up and say, God, use me. So we see the charge. He said to arise. And then, not only to arise, but once we get there, I don't want to skip past this scripture. Thinking about ascend, I love this verse. Love this verse. Deuteronomy 6:23, thinking about ascending. See, God doesn't want us to wander in a spiritual wilderness. That was never God's plan for Israel, and that is not God's plan for us. Now, there are times of growth. There are times where we're learning some things. We don't get saved and become perfect overnight. But God doesn't want us wandering in that spiritual wasteland of the wilderness, our entire spiritual walk. And the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 6:23, and He brought us out from thence. It means He brought Israel out of Egypt. He brought us out of the bondage of sin, that He might bring us in, where? To the promised land. They brought to bring them to their promised land, to bring us to our spiritual promised land. The place where God blesses. The place where God works. The place where God's power is. The place where God's provision and protection is. He brought us out to bring us in, to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers. So we see there He says, arise, and then abide. Once we get there, we need to stay there by God's grace. Look what it says. God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there. We got to spend some time there. It doesn't mean, well, I did it once, I'm good now. No. This is an everyday thing. We need to go back to Bethel every day. We need to seek to be in God's presence every single day. If the Lord's going to work in our life, the word dwell means to live or stay as a permanent resident, to reside, to live or continue in a given condition or state. That's what God wants for us. To dwell in His presence, to dwell at Bethel every day. God wants to do some amazing things. The potential in this room and in this and at this place right now is unfathomable. God can do great things. God used 12 people to change the world, and we got more than 12 here. God wants to do some great things. We got to get to Bethel, and we got to dwell there. And what that means is obviously is faithfulness. And one preacher put it this way: what is faithfulness? Long obedience in the same direction. And that's what we need by God's grace. But before we can be faithful, we got to get there. So we see, we must arise, we must abide, and when we get there, we must adore. What I mean by that is worship God. And when we worship, that'll help get us there. The Bible talks about in Philippians, I love that scripture, it basically says don't worry about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, or in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. The power is in your praise. And that doesn't mean when things are good and you throw your hands up and say, praise the Lord. That means when things are terrible. And yet you turn your eyes toward heaven and say, praise the Lord. You turn your eyes toward heaven like Job and say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's how you get there and you stay there. You say, I know it stinks right now, but God's been good to me. God is, and even if God hasn't been good, although He has been to all of us, He is good, not because of what He's done, but because of who He is, and He's worthy of our praise, whether we feel like it or not. It says there in our scripture, it says, make there an altar unto God. God said, Jacob, go back to Bethel and worship me there. And see, when we get to that place, we get back to our Bethel, that'll be the natural response. We'll have a desire to do that. That's one thing we need to ask ourselves. Do we have a desire to worship God right now? I'm not asking, do you have a desire to go to church? I'm asking, do you have a desire within your heart, with everything that's in you, to worship God, with everything you do, to praise Him? I believe when we get in our Bethel, we will. So we see the charge, arise, abide, and adore. But we see the condition here, verses 2 and 3. Before we can go there, we've got to come clean. Like it says, verse 2 and 3, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. So we see the condition to get to Bethel, to get back to Bethel. And this may be what's keeping a lot of Christians from Bethel today, is things in our life that we're not willing to deal with. Things in our life that the Lord has pointed out that does not need to be there, but we're not willing to deal with it. The first step is recognition, recognizing the problem. What's the issue? What's in the way of you getting back there? Recognition, what I mean by that, says in our scripture, he says, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. Now that's significant. Because prior to this, when Jacob and all his family and Rachel, when they left, they took the idols of Laban with them. And then not only did they take them with them, but when Laban came to search their tents, they hid them so that he wouldn't find them. So not only do they have sin in their life, but they've got sin that they've hid and are not willing to deal with. But Jacob says, before we can go there, you've got to get all that stuff that you've been hiding in your life, in your baggage, all that stuff you need to go get and bring it forward and get rid of it. That is, if you want to go to Bethel with me, Jacob says. If we want to get back to that place, we've got to take an inventory. Say, God, what's in there that I haven't been willing to deal with? And he may be pointing that out right now. He's done that to me. It's time to get it out in the open and deal with it. Repent of it. Tell the Lord you're sorry for it. That's what he wanted from them. They'd hid it long enough. And he says, if you want to go to Bethel, you got to bring all that and get rid of it. We need to pray this prayer. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. The word search there means try to find something by looking or otherwise seeking carefully and thoroughly. And God doesn't have to look very hard to find stuff in our lives. But you got to be willing to say, Lord, search me. But don't ask him if you're not willing. Because you ask him and he will show you what needs to be gone. And it goes on to say, and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So there needs to be recognition. We got to realize what the issue is. They had to realize what they had been hiding, what they had in their baggage all along. He said, get rid of it. But not only recognize, it's not enough to say, yep, that's the problem. Yep, that's the issue. It's not enough to say that's the problem, but you got to repent of it. Once again, that you need God to do that. You got to say, God, help me. That's the issue. That is the problem in my life. That's what's keeping me from Bethel. I want to get rid of it. And by your grace, help me to repent of it. And that's his will. You're praying in the will of God right there. And I believe if you'll let him, he will enable you to do that. So not only did it say, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. He's saying you need to get them and get rid of them. It didn't say, show me what you've got and then you can put it back in your pocket. We're good at that as Christians, aren't we? We're good at saying, okay, Lord, here's the problem. I'm sorry for it. Then you get up from praying, take it back to your seat with you. Aren't we good at that? But if we're going to do it right, if we're going to get back to Bethel, we've got to lay it there and leave it. We've got to. And I thank God the Bible says, Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. God will not bless as long as you cover that, as long as they covered that, as long as anybody covers, any child of God covers sin in their life. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God, and I want you to know, God wants to have mercy. I thank the Lord, we have a God that delights in mercy. We don't have a God that delights in judgment and in pain, although he's righteous, although he's holy, and although one day he will judge. But right now, he's a God of mercy. He wants to have mercy on you and me, but we've got to be willing to say, this is the problem, I want to get rid of it, help me to do so. I repent of it by your grace. The Bible says, if we'll do that, that he will have mercy. 1 John 1:9, that's talking to Christians. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that verse. It says, if we confess he's faithful, that means he'll do it, and just, that means he can. Why can he do that? Because of what Jesus did for us. He wouldn't be just in cleansing us of that if Jesus had not died on the cross. But because of what Christ did when I got saved, sins past, present, and future were all forgiven. And then when we confess those sins as children of God, where the relationship doesn't need to be restored because it was never broken. If you're a child of God, praise the Lord, you are forever a child of God. I will, for better or for worse, I'm going to be Blake Finner's son for all my life. That's not going to change. But there may be some break in fellowship sometimes. And that's why we got to confess it as children of God. Because when we've got sin in our life, the fellowship is broken and we don't have access to that Bethel. But if we'll confess that to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may remember it. It may bother you. The devil may hang it over your head. But if you truly confess it and forsake it by God's grace, the Lord says, what sin are you talking about? I thank God for that. Because so many times there's sin in my life. Devil hangs over my head. Breaks my heart. God looks at me and says, what are you talking about? I don't see any sin. Jesus says, I paid for that. The devil, Bible says, he's the accuser of the brethren. He said, hey, you see what he did? And everybody in the courtroom says, yeah, he did that. But Jesus said, I paid for that. That's under the blood. That's forgiven. But we've got to be willing to deal with it. And if we will, we have a God that delights in mercy, and He'll forgive us. He'll forgive you. He'll restore that fellowship that you've so longed for a long time. Maybe there's somebody in the room tonight that you felt uncomfortable for so long as a child of God because you know you weren't where you needed to be with Him. Tonight, He says, just confess it, forsake it. He'll have mercy. That's what he wants. That's what God wants. He wants to have mercy on you, but he will not. He cannot unless you're willing to deal with it. But if you will, thank God he's faithful. We're not faithful. We are not faithful. But praise God, it's not up to us. He's faithful. And he will do what he says he will do every time without fail, on time, every time. I praise the Lord for that. So the condition, got to be recognition. There's got to be repentance. And here's the next one. And man, oh man, do we need it? There's got to be reliance upon God. If you want to get in Bethel and you want to stay there, if you get there, the devil is going to fight tooth and nail to break that fellowship again. Not relationship, but to break that fellowship again. When you try to do things right, the devil knows that, and he will fight with everything in him to mess that up because he knows when you're in Bethel, that's where the power's at. But if you're going to stay in Bethel, if you're going to stay in that place of power and blessing and touch of God, to rely on God. 100%. It's not like God 9 to you 10, or even God 99 and you 1. It's God 100%. You've got to say, Lord, I've got absolutely nothing to offer you. I want to stay in Bethel, but the only way I'm going to stay here is if you enable me to do so. You rely on Him. But see, the world today, I'm going to get by. Look, Frank Sinatra's song sums up the philosophy of the world today. I did it my way. That's the philosophy of the world. That is a lie of the devil. If we're going to make it in Christian life, what I mean by that is, make it in that place of blessing. Now, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. But God wants to have us in our promised land and not wandering in the wilderness. If we're going to get there, we're going to say, God, my way don't work. Your way is the only way. Please help me. And every day, just cling to that vine. As long as you're connected to the vine, that's where the strength, the power, the enablement comes from. But so many times we as children, it's like we try to disconnect from the vine and do it on our own, and all we do is wither and fail. There must be reliance. The Bible says, Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, controlled by the Spirit. That literally means be ye being filled. That's an everyday, in every moment, every second thing where we've got to say, God, control me. Control me. Help me, Lord, because if you don't control me, I'm going to control me, and then I'm going to get myself in a mess. Help me, Lord. Romans 13, 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is actually what we're doing when it says put on the armor of God. You're just putting on Jesus is what you're doing. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There's another thing. If we want to rely on God, we need to also, by God's grace, say, hey, maybe I shouldn't put those things in my path that may tempt me to do something wrong. Maybe I shouldn't hang out with those people that cause me to want to do that thing or to act that way or to say that. Make no provision. Hey, our flesh doesn't need any help. So if we put something there that will draw our flesh, that's provision for the flesh. It's saying, hey, come on, flesh. And this is just an easy one. That's why I use it. But I enjoy that TV show. I love that music. I like that movie. I know that it's got some bad language and some things I don't need to see. But it's such a good, it's got a great storyline. What you don't realize is, every time you may hear those cuss words or see those things, it may not register at that moment. But later on in that day, as a child of God, watch or listen to something you shouldn't. And then later on that day, something will pop in your mind. And you say, where in the world did that come from? Well, that came from what you watched a while back. Our flesh doesn't need any help. Let's not make provision for our flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What we need to do is starve our flesh. Now, not necessarily physically, although I need to do that a little bit. But I mean our spiritual flesh. Because what really, spiritually, what wins out is what we feed the most. What do you feed the most each day? Your spirit, your righteousness, Christ in you, or your flesh? What you feed, you can really see. Where the way you talk, the way you think, the way you act, that shows what you're feeding. Just like I said, so many times in my life, Carrie says, well, have you read your Bible today? That basically means, go read your Bible, boy, because you ain't acting right. That's what that means. We need to make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We got to rely on God. Man, we need God. But if we'll do that, if we will recognize it, if we will repent of it, if we will rely on God, the result is amazing, and that's what we see, the conclusion, and I'll be done. Verses 4 through 7, we see in verse number 5, we see in this place in Bethel the conclusion. If we'll repent, if we'll recognize and repent and rely, there will be power. It says, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. These low-down sinners, they weren't nothing, but God was on them. And when God's on you, it is noticeable. When God's on a place, it is noticeable. That's why I say that we need to pray that God be on this place. But because when God is here, that's where the power's at. And that when somebody walks in the door of this church, if God's here, they'll know it. Not because God's people are walking around, yeah, got our Bible, we look at, no. But because when God's here, we don't need any extra. When God's here, He'll do the work. God will be on you. The power of God will be empowering you if you'll get back to Bethel. But only His power, we see protection. It says there in verse 5, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. God protected them in that place. Now, in our Christian walk, I don't want you to think that if you get right with God, you get to Bethel, that everything's going to be okay, that nothing's ever going to go wrong, because that's not true. If anything else, it's the exact opposite. That one of the godliest men to ever walk the planet was Job, and he went through worse things than we'll probably ever go through. But it does mean that nothing will happen to you. I mean, God will not chasten you. See, a lot of times we bring a lot more on ourselves. I mean, God's got plan for us to go through things to make us more like Jesus, but sometimes we bring more on ourselves. We bring more pain and suffering on ourselves. But in that place, at Bethel, God will protect us. God will protect His. He will protect and bless us. But not only will there be power and protection, but praise God, when we get to Bethel, and I already talked about, we will be driven to praise. You get in the presence of God as a child of God. Once you repent and fellowship is restored. Now, if you're a child of God and you've got sin in your life, it doesn't need to be there. And then you get in the presence of God. You got some repenting to do before you start praising. But once you've repented of your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then there will be praise. Look what it says. So Jacob came to Luz, which is the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. That word El Bethel means the God of the house of God. God wants to show up and show out in our life. But we've got to get back to Bethel. And if we'll get there, God will do amazing things that can only be explained that God did it. But we've got to be willing to recognize, repent, and rely. And if we'll do that, God will be faithful every time. May God help us. Because this message, I would like to think any man of God that would preach this, it's easy preaching. Very hard to live. Impossible to live apart from the grace of God. So I think what we all need to do tonight as Miss Mary comes to the piano is beg God to help us. Say, Lord, maybe you're in a place that I've been. Say, Lord, that's it. There it is. Your finger's on it. That's it. Maybe you want to come tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you want to come tonight and say, Lord, that's it. And I want to lay it here and leave it here. Don't carry that burden any longer. If you'll get rid of it, if you'll confess it, you'll forsake it, He'll have mercy. Now, you don't have to come to the altar to do business with God, but I believe there's something special about coming to the altar in the house of God, crying out to God.